this will be our fifth and final lesson. So there's a thief that lurks among us. And this thief has visited each of us. It has visited you. And it has visited me on occasion. And actually has stolen some things from us. We actually often invite it. We actually extend an invitation to this thief. And we invite it into our lives. And we let it camp out in our hearts, our Bible hearts. And we let it camp out in our homes. This thief has the ability to affect our attitude. It has the ability to distract and steal some very precious things from us. The question is, what is this thief? And the answer is that it's complaining. Complaining is a thief. Now, I will preface this lesson in that every sermon that I prepare, and any gospel preacher who endeavors to preach the gospel must first preach or take heed to the message himself. And so I'll say outright that I have done my fair share of complaining. We don't have to go very far back, do we? The year of 2020 and 2021 and COVID and all those things that surround that. I'll be honest, I did my fair share of complaining. And so we've all done our fair share of complaining. It might be about some other or something, but regardless, we've all done our fair share of complaining. And so tonight we're going to catalog some things that complaining is a thief of. Number one, complaining is a thief of joy. And so a heart, remember our Bible class, this is your blood pump, this is your Bible heart. A heart that is occupied, a mind that is occupied with complaining, is a person whose joy is being stolen. Notice in the book of Psalm 35 and verse 9, the psalmist said, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." You can study through the Psalms themselves. The psalmist David and other psalmists talk about being joyful. The Bible talks about being joyful. An emphasis is placed on joy, even in the New Testament. But how about further in wisdom literature? In Ecclesiastes 7:14, Solomon wrote, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that men can find out nothing that will come after him." You know what complaining does? It robs us of joy. It steals joy from our lives. I want you to consider Israel. Israel becomes an example of the very things we're going to talk about tonight. Consider Israel when Israel leaves Egyptian bondage. God had set the Hebrew people free. He guided them. He provided for them. He met all of their needs. And yet, what did they do? They complained. Matter of fact, over and over again we read and the people complained. On the screen you can see some passages. These are examples that illustrate Israel complaining. In Exodus 15, in verse number 24, it says, "And the people complained against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" Now consider the context and the things that had occurred. Consider the plagues that were sent upon Egypt. And God had told Moses that those plagues were being sent, that they may know that I am the Lord God. Now, that would be true of the Egyptians, but it would also be true of the Israelites, what would become God's covenant people. And then God brings them out, and they cross the Red Sea, and there's that miraculous parting of water, and some 1 million plus Hebrew people cross on dry ground, and then they get through, and the water comes back and it destroys the Egyptian army in the midst of the sea. And now they're out, they're journeying towards the promised land, and God is feeding them, God is providing for them, and God is leading them. And no sooner than that they leave Egypt, they begin to complain. Have they already forgotten what God has done for them? And even furthermore, what God has promised to give them and do for them? that he would be their God and that they would be his people and that he would make a special covenant with them. Notice in chapter 16 and in verse number 2, just chapter after chapter we go. In verse number 2, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, when they complained against Moses and Aaron, who were they really complaining against? That's right, God. Why or how? Well, because God chose or selected Moses, and Aaron was appointed to be Moses' spokesman. And so when they complain against Moses and Aaron, they're really complaining against God. But they go on, it goes on, chapter 17 and verse 3. Chapter 17, verse 3, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained. Chapter after chapter after chapter, moment after moment after moment, even in light of God providing food and sustenance for them and leading them. But it goes on. If you turn to Numbers chapter 11, and in verse number 1, it says, now when the people complained, it just keeps going. Now, here's what's fascinating about that. From Exodus chapter, from the time they depart, so Exodus 10, 11, 12, from there through the book of Exodus, obviously the book of Exodus is not entirely narrative. It's not one continuous story throughout Exodus. There's things about the building of the tabernacle and all that instruction. Then you come to the book of Numbers, and the narrative kind of picks back up again. So from the time they leave Egypt to the time that they actually come to the border of the Promised Land, it's estimated to be somewhere around 12 months. It takes them about 1 year to get from Egypt to the border of the Promised Land. And so as you read through those chapters, like, in that span of time, complaining, murmuring, complaining. And so, in chapter 14. Now, chapter 14 is after they sent in the spies. So, chapter 14 is kind of a division chapter where we're going to begin what we call the wandering in the wilderness. When Israel wanders for 40 years, that's going to ultimately begin in chapter 14. But in chapter 14 and verse number 36... it says, now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land. The bad report, if you will, the complaining of those men influenced Israel as a whole. Now we know men like Joshua and Caleb, they wanted to go right away and invade and conquer the Promised Land. But the other 10 brought back that bad or negative report, and they influenced the thinking of Israel as a whole. And so Israel as a whole, they're complaining. It goes on in chapter 16 and in verse number 11. Therefore, you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you complain against him? It just keeps going. Chapter 16 and verse number 41. It says, on the next day, all the congregation of the children of Israel complained. And that's not all the occasions that they complained. That's just a few that we're going to highlight at this moment to just demonstrate that complaining is a thief of joy. They talk about going back to Egypt, that they even argue that it would be better to go back to Egypt. Have they forgotten that they were slaves in Egypt? That they were forced into hard servitude? And here's God in delivering them, providing for them, leading them. And yet they're being robbed of all the joy that that should bring to them. Their hearts should have been filled with joy, but their hearts are filled with complaining. Think about you and I today and the blessings that we have through Jesus the Christ. Does life present challenges? Absolutely. I don't want to rehash 2020, but that difficult time, wasn't it? And let me say this, even for God's people, it affected gospel preachers, it affected elders, it affected deacons, it affected local churches, it affected individual Christians, even among God's people. It was a time of trial. But think about all the things that one could face in his or her life, right? We all face trial, trouble, tragedy. None of us like to pay for more for gas than we have to. You know, eggs, that was a staple in my family. That was one of the things that almost all of my family ate. My kids are pretty picky, but eggs, that was the one thing that almost everybody ate. And when it got up to $7 for 18 eggs, that was getting pretty steep. My son Blake can eat like 12 at a time. And we told him, there's no more 12 at a time. It's like, drink a glass of water and then have 3 eggs and drink another glass of water to fill yourself up. Did I complain about it? I probably did. I probably complained about the high gas prices. I probably complained about the high egg prices. There's lots of things to complain about. We don't like the weather. It's too cold or it's too hot. Our hearts today should be filled with joy in Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through Him. But if we're not careful, complaining will act like a thief and steal it away. Now, I do think there may be a difference in stating the obvious. I could come in and say that it's cold outside. Well, that could be true. Or it could be hot outside. And we're not talking about like you order something online and when it comes to your house, it's broken and you got to call customer service. Or no, you know, you ordered a product and that company, you know, will stand by their product. That's not complaining. That's just addressing a problem, taking care of a situation. You like to be around people that complain. Like all they do is complain. I don't like to be around people. If all they're going to do is complain and whine about things, I don't want to be around that kind of attitude. That'll affect my attitude. I like to be around people that are joyful. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we shouldn't be sorrowful. There's things that will cause sorrow and heartache. We're not saying that. We understand those kinds of circumstances. And we should be there for one another. The Bible talks about weeping with those who weep and being joyful with those who are joyful. But complaining, just always complaining about this and that or everything, will rob us of joy, the joy that we have in Jesus the Christ. But number two, another thing that complaining will rob us of is that complaining is a thief of opportunity. Complaining consumes time, and that time could be used doing something else. Like, if there's a problem, like maybe just complaining about it continually, well, if there's a problem, address the problem. How do I fix the problem? How do I address the problem, right? Minister to it. Take care of it. Complaining consumes time and therefore opportunity. Ephesians 5 and in verse 15, Paul said, "See then that you walk circumspectly," the idea is carefully, "not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Now, time there, again, it may be literal, right? It could be like time, that is in hours, but I believe really the focus of that passage is on opportunities, that we need to be redeeming our opportunities because the days are evil. And if I spend my time complaining, then I've lost time to redeem opportunities. Observe Israel leaving Egypt. The opportunity is before them. They're headed to the promised land, a land that God has promised to give them. Think about it. The Bible says they're going to dwell in houses they didn't build. They're going to draw water from wells they didn't dig. The land is described as a very plentiful land. It's going to be a good land for their families to live in. It's going to be a good land to have flocks and herds in. It's going to be a suitable land. It's before them. Opportunity before. Opportunity to be God's covenant people. Opportunity to serve God and to worship God. But many of them were complainers. They just complained. "We're just getting tired of this food," or "we don't have any water to drink, and we should have just stayed back in Egypt. We want to go back to Egypt." They could have spent that time praising God. They could have spent that time helping one another. They could have spent that time planning and not being stolen from. This morning in one of our lessons, we made this observation: that Christians are to be zealous for good works, ready for every good work, and rich in good works. But if I spend my time complaining, like, you know, complaining about it being cold outside, is me complaining going to change the fact that it's cold outside? No. No, it's not. I'm not going to be able to change the weather. What can I do? Well, I can layer up, right? If I live in Northeast Ohio, well, guess what? I know that winter's coming. I know there's going to be some cold days. When summer comes, there's going to be some hot days. Complaining about it isn't going to change the fact that it's hot and or cold. But what it might do is rob me of some opportunities. I'll just say the word politics, and enough has been said. Have I complained about the political sphere in this country? You better believe I have. I've spent my fair share of complaining about the political climate in this nation. That might very well have been time wasted. I might have been robbed of opportunities in which I could have been an encouragement to somebody, or being evangelistic, or doing some personal study. Any number of things could have been done. I could have been zealous, more zealous for good works. I could have been making ready for some good work. I could have been actively engaged in some good work that I might be rich in such activity. Complaining will rob disciples of zeal and opportunity for good works. Number three, complaining is a thief of faith. You know what complaining can do to your faith? It'll shipwreck it's what it'll do. Complaining will shipwreck your faith. Complaining distracts, among other things, but it distracts us. And that's what Satan does. Satan's very clever. You know what Satan wants you to do? Complain, complain, complain. That's what he wants you to do. Just complain about anything and everything. That's what Satan wants. And in so doing, you'll become distracted. You'll lose focus. Your eyes will be taken off the prize. Your eyes will be taken off God. Your life no longer centers around Christ. Now it centers around complaining. And so your faith will suffer shipwreck. Your faith can be robbed. Faith is a central element in the lives of God's people. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Hebrew writer said, "For without faith it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is." Faith is a necessary element in salvation. Mark 16, 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." By the way, just throw this in there. We mentioned in one of the lessons about faith only, and the Bible doesn't teach it, but it's a popular religious doctrine today. In John 3:16, it says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe. That word believe comes from a Greek word meaning pistuo, or it's pistuo, and it means, in the Greek, it actually means to do all that God requires. And so when the Bible talks about believe, and pistuo is used, it means to do all that God requires. And so that's necessary for my salvation. In Numbers chapter 11 and verse 1, we read that a moment ago, but I didn't read the entire verse. I was saving the latter part for this moment. It says, "Now when the people complained," well, what'd it do? How did God feel about that? It says, "It displeased the Lord, for the Lord heard it, and his anger was aroused." Now think about this. Think about some of the things they complained about. They complained that they didn't have enough water. They complained that they were tired of eating the same food. They complained on different occasions that they thought that Moses had taken too much authority upon himself. He hadn't. He was God appointed. He was doing that which God called upon him to do. Think about the things that we complain about. You think God is pleased with? If God was not pleased with them complaining about not having enough water, not having a different kind of food, alleging things against a fellow brother, you think God is pleased? I'll say each one of us, including myself. Number four, complaining is a thief of unity. Complaining sows discord. That was demonstrated in the book of Numbers chapter 14. Discord was sown among the camp of Israel. When those spies came back and they brought that negative report and they complained before the elders of Israel and word spread about that complaining, it impacted, affected, or influenced Israel as a whole. it destroys and undermines relationships. It destroys and undermines like-mindedness. The Bible says that unity is a blessed state. You know what Psalm 133 and 1 says. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Think about the complainers in Israel. They expressed a desire to return to Egypt and therefore Egyptian bondage. Exodus 14 verse 11. Then they said to Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? They're suggesting that Moses brought them up out of Egypt to die. Right? It's just not so. Because there was no graves in Egypt? No. They were delivered by God, brought up by God out of Egypt. And think about the discord that was sown among the people. How about Numbers 14 and verse 3? Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? No, it wouldn't be better for you to return to Egypt. God promised Israel the land of Canaan, and they marched all the way to its borders, but complaining sowed discord. Now, when those spies came back, if you go back and read Numbers chapter 13, and they come back and they bring back the report. Now, there were some things that they said were true. So they talked about fortified cities. They talked about that the men in the land were like giants. They were big men. They talked about the land having much fruit, good food. Those things were true. Well, then what was the problem with their report? Well, among other things, the biggest issue was that they didn't have faith and trust in God that they could go in and invade and conquer the promised land. Those 10 spies said, we can't do it. And that was the major issue. They just didn't have faith and trust in God. That might be exactly why God did not take them directly from Egypt to the promised land. We don't know the exact route that they took, the exact route. But we know that it wasn't in a straight line. Now, I ran cross country in high school. And so our cross country coach, we'd get to the course early and we would be walking and jogging the course and we would be looking at the turns in the course and the various angles. And the coach was always emphasizing, you make this bend, you look ahead, you try to run in a straight line. Why? Because that's the shortest distance. And I would suggest that the reason why God didn't take them in a straight line is because he had to take them to the school of faith. They had to learn. They were slaves in Egypt. They had to learn to trust and depend upon God. Number five. That is, complaining is a thief of gratitude. What exactly is gratitude? Well, gratitude is the quality of being thankful. Readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. You and I have so much to be thankful for. And when we complain, we lose sight. We lose focus of all those many blessings. We sing songs like Count Your Many Blessings. Back home when we have VBS, we end our VBS with a prayer. And I always ask, especially the little children, you know, what are some things we can pray for? And what do you think are some of the things they mention? We're talking about 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, all the way up to like 10-year-olds. And they talk about things like mom and dad and family and food and God and Jesus. Like, we don't have time tonight to try to list all of our blessings. The Bible talks about how Jesus in John chapter 21, when John's account comes to a close, it talks about that if all the works of Jesus were written down, the world couldn't contain the books. I believe that's a literary exaggeration. Just to indicate that Jesus did a lot of wonderful works. And that they just, I shouldn't say weren't able to be written down, but it just indicates that there were so many more things that Jesus did. And you and I might be hard-pressed to sit down and be able to catalog all the blessings. You heard in the prayer a moment ago, if you were listening, that, you know, a prayer was said about our freedom. We live in one of the greatest countries in the history of humanity. We have freedom to assemble and to practice the religion that we so choose. And And so it's one of the great blessings. We pray that it'll always be so, but it may not be. You never know. And it just goes on. All the spiritual blessings that we have in Jesus the Christ, from forgiveness of sin to redemption to reconciliation with God and being part of the family of God. And it just goes on and on. There are so many things to be thankful for. But you know what complaining does? It robs us of gratitude. It robs us of a thankful heart. You know, Israel is about to occupy the land promised to them by God in Numbers chapter 13. They're on the doorstep. They're right there. They're about to occupy it. And yet, what'd they do? They complained. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 10, the narrative says, or Moses wrote, "So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, hewn out of wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." I wrote a Bible study series on the book of Deuteronomy. The book of Deuteronomy is basically contains three speeches of Moses. In the early chapters, the idea of not forgetting is emphasized over and over again by Moses. He's telling Israel, don't forget God. Remember God. Over and over again in those early chapters of Deuteronomy. He's preparing their heart for when they go in and take possession of the promised land. Because these are some of the things they're going to be blessed with. These things are going to be part of their lives. They're going to be theirs. And yet, if you know your Old Testament history, after the days of Joshua, what happened? That's right. They forgot God. They raised a generation who did not know God. They did what was right in their own sight. And you just start in the book of Judges, and you just continue reading through the book of Judges and 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, 1 Kings and 2 Kings. And it becomes evident that a good duration of Israel's history in the Old Testament was time spent not remembering God. And I believe that they spent a great deal of time complaining. They certainly did after they left Egypt, and it affected them. And so complaining is a thief. I said at the outset that I've done my fair share of complaining. I've probably done some complaining in the last 3 days while I've been here. And so I need to remind myself of the danger of complaining and what it can do, how it can affect my life, that complaining is a thief of joy. It's a thief of opportunity. It's a thief of faith, a thief of unity, a thief of gratitude. You know, there are some things that are just out of my control, like the weather, in many ways, politics. Yeah, I'm a registered voter. I can go vote. But there's so many things that are just out of my control. And spending hours complaining about it, like, what is it really going to accomplish? Well, in a positive manner, probably nothing, right? In some instances, absolutely nothing. If anything, I'm going to be robbed of some things. And so issues, difficulties, trials, troubles, and problems and the like, they're going to come our way. We're going to face those things. There's going to be some hard times in this earth life. That's why heaven is going to be so glorious, because we're going to endure this life. We're going to persevere. We're going to push forward. We're going to keep our eyes on the prize. We're going to keep our eyes focused on Christ. Our lives are going to be centered around Jesus. And we're going to serve God and worship God faithfully. You know, how we handle those difficult times, trials, troubles, tragedy, or how we address them will determine whether we allow our joy, opportunity, faith, unity, gratitude to be stolen from us. The final passage is on the screen there. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14. Paul said, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Now, I'm going to turn back to that text in my Bible just very quickly to make one final observation. In Philippians chapter 2. In verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Why would Paul say that? Why would Paul say, "in my absence"? Let me maybe make this observation. When you're around brethren, how easy is it to do good? Right? Your speech is holy. Your conduct is holy. But what happens when maybe you're away from the brethren? You're outside of this assembly. You're at home maybe. You're in the workplace. You're in some other place away from brethren. Then how do you act? Then how do you behave? And so Paul tells them, whether I'm with you or not with you, you need to be faithful to God. You need to be true to God. And so let's try to complain less and praise and thank God more. And I include myself in that. I need to try to do my very best to do less complaining and more praising. Less complaining and more encouraging of one another. We're going to sing the song that's been chosen tonight as a song of encouragement, number 21. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you're ready to do as they did in the first century, to hear the gospel, believe it, and be baptized. And you understand those commands that are given by God to become a Christian, and you're ready to respond, don't delay. You come tonight and obey the gospel and put on Christ and begin to praise God and to be part of God's family. Maybe you are a Christian and you've forsaken God in some capacity. You've been unfaithful. Maybe you've entertained sin in your life. Your sins, a Christian can so sin as to be lost. And so we need to be faithful to God. If we sin, we need to be humble enough, sincere enough to admit, I've sinned, I've missed the mark, and repent and pray to God for forgiveness. If you're here tonight in subject, won't you come once together? We stand and while we sing.